now segment number three of our On the House Hour, where we tackle our weekly to-do. I feel if we tackle one maintenance item around your home, castle, or cabin every single week, it'll ever keep a big honey-do list from backing up on you and creating a situation where you're so far underneath maintenance and keeping up with your home that you become overwhelmed and do nothing, and things just go from bad to worse. So if we just tackle that one weekly to-do, we can stay on top of maintaining the largest asset most of us have in our entire life, our home. And this week we're talking about water heaters, and we've got our specialist on the line, George Funkhauser, with All About Water, talking about maintaining our water heater. And I don't know about you, George, but I'd sooner give up my air conditioning than my water heater. I can sleep when it's a little hot outside, but I can't sleep feeling sweaty and dirty. And I got to have that clean shower and I can go to sleep.
I'm right there with you. Definitely the first thing I want to do when I get up in the morning is take a hot shower and not a cold shower, especially when we get to be wimps here in Arizona with the what we call cold water, cold weather in the wintertime.
Well, even in the summertime, you know, a cold shower is just never fun. And
no, it really is.
And our standard tank water heaters that we're going to start talking about, pretty simple, pretty basic, not a lot of new technology, relatively speaking, over the last 50 years. Let's talk through what we as homeowners have to do to drain and maintain our water heaters.
That's a great question, Romy. And the biggest thing that we always recommend to try to keep our water heaters up in tip-top shape is definitely flushing them. And we tell people to flush them about every 6 months. Make sure that we're hooking up the hose to it and just run it out in that street or yard area and flush it for a good 15, 20 minutes. Is what we recommend for kind of just proper maintenance as far as what a homeowner is going to do themselves.
And when you talk about hooking the hose up, we're talking about the drain side. And every water heater will have a little hose bib at the end. They are always on sideways and never easy to connect a hose with.
We see that all the time. I've seen some of them in the back, and people go, how am I going to get my hose connected to this line in the back? And when somebody's putting in a water heater, they just probably weren't paying attention or thinking about that at the time. But yes, at the bottom of the water heater, there's a drain valve at the bottom. And in fact, so many customers of ours, when we go out to the home, we usually upgrade them into a full 3/4 inch port with a nice handle on it to open them up instead of using like a screwdriver to stick in there and trying to drain it out. The port's about as big as a pencil, the ones that come standard on a water heater, but we like to put on a larger flush valve to make sure that we get all that dirt and turbidity out of the water heater and get a good flush on it.
Once we have the hose hooked up, before we open it, we want to shut the power off to the water heater?
You know, you really don't have to. I do get a lot of customers that ask that because, again, we're not draining a water heater. We're just doing a flush of a heater. So if we are draining a water heater, such as a gas or electric water heater, we definitely want to shut the water heater off because we don't want to dry fire or run electricity to those elements that are in there with no water surrounding the elements. You would call it like a dry fire, and that could be damaging to a heater. But since we're just doing a flush, we can leave the heat on, we can leave the gas on, we're just hooking up that hose, opening up that valve, and just letting it run for a good 10 to 15 minutes out, like I said, to the driveway, to the yard, just to get all that water flushed out. As water's coming into the water heater, it's going to swish it around at the bottom and try to push out that port at the very bottom of it.
And because you left your water supply on, you've never run into a situation where the water level dips below where your heating element is on an electric water heater.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And what George is talking about on dry fry, that's picture when you turn on a light bulb and it pop goes out. That's exactly what happens on a dry fry. These elements are designed to be in water, and when they hit air, they basically just blow themselves up, and they call that
That's
a dry
correct.
Fire. And you're adding another, $100 to replace the element now?
Usually. Tune-up kits are usually a couple elements, a couple thermostats as well that come in a tune-up kit for water heaters, which is another good idea to do on heaters as they get a little bit older. You can actually replace those thermostats and replace those elements, and you're in that right price range for like a tune-up kit for something like that.
And that's in a do-it-yourself, obviously. If you're paying a licensed professional to come do it, you're going to have that service charge on top of it.
Yeah, a little bit more when you're having the service rep coming out. And I always recommend when you're getting into a water heater, a homeowner can definitely flush something themselves. Most of us can do that with the regular residential hose that we have in the yards or on the side of the house. And that's something that they can do just periodically, like I said, twice a year. You don't need a representative like a contractor to come out and do that. But definitely if we're doing some upkeep and maintenance, maybe taking a look at that anode rod in a water heater, which is a sacrificial metal, or replacing the elements on a water heater or thermostats, I always recommend usually have a licensed contractor out to do that, mainly for peace of mind as well.
That sacrificial rod is a softer metal than the tank itself, so that the hard minerals in water that corrode steel deteriorate the anode rod.
Absolutely, and so many customers aren't aware of those, and get customers more informed about what a water heater does, what's inside of them. It's doing its job. It's becoming the sacrifice in the heater. So that water that's in a water heater, we call it, sometimes we'll say something like aggressive in nature. When it's inside that tank, it'll actually eat that metal rod up versus eating the glass and metal lining of the tank, causing a weakness in the tank and the ruptures on there. All the manufacturers want you to take a look at those about once a year, no longer than every 2 years, to really open up that water heater, take a look at that anode rod, and replace if necessary.
And what does that run?
On an anode rod, like we perform a service for an anode rod replacement, and normally we'll flush the heater. Different anode rods for different water heaters, but it's safe to say usually a couple hundred to a few hundred dollars from start to finish on a water heater. By the time you had a service call to the home, maybe you replaced an anode rod, put a larger flush valve on it.
The anode rod, the hardest thing a lot of times on those is extracting them. The brass fitting to the tank. I mean, I've had to get on some where we had to crank and spray and crank and spray and heat and crank and spray to break the sucker loose.
Definitely, yeah. We have impact guns that we use to get rid of some of those. A lot of times we'll have cheater bars that we're hooking up to sockets to break those loose. So it can be a challenge, but having the right professional out there, you can definitely get it taken care of.
Now, if somebody's never done anything to their water heater, maintained it, they just use the hot water and ignore it, every plumber seems to have about a tipping point on a time frame that if you've done nothing to it, it's not worth doing anything now. Wait till it dies and replace it. Do you guys have like a tipping point of, you know, if you haven't touched it for 7 years, don't bother it now because it's already, you know, you're just going to create more problems than solve.
So I don't have like a tipping point where I'll say, now obviously when you have a professional out to the home, he's going to be able to look at the actual heater and have telltale signs of, hey, this doesn't really look good to mess with, but be proactive and start thinking about the change, whether conventional heater or going tankless in the future. Even when it comes to flushing a water heater, right, if you've never flushed a water heater in, let's say, 7 or 8 years.
And if you have an older water heater that you haven't flushed in 7, 12 years, just know the first time it's going to be a little longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah, yep. You may run that thing for a good 35, 40 minutes out there, and it's funny because you'll still see stragglers at the end of that you're still getting gunk to come out of that bottom of the water heater.
I see our traditional tank water heaters going away over the next 30 years. I bet in the next 10 years, every new home that gets built is going to come standard so that it could take a tankless water heater or a tank water heater. You could do both. In a 30-year time frame, they're only going to be built to support a tankless water heater.
I think you're right on track. See, so many builders now giving that as options when you're building a house as far as, hey, would you like to go tankless? And you're correct about a lot of things you're talking about. If it comes to electricity right now, going to it, yes, putting a larger gauge wire and more amperage in your box or having a bigger gas line. The nice thing is, with the technology even out there today, if your house wasn't set up for it, it's becoming more and more available and affordable to all homeowners to make that change. But eventually, yeah, I would see regular traditional water heaters just going away completely because of the lack of efficiency potential of flooding a home when they have 50, 75, 80 gallons of water just sitting in that that tank, and when it ruptures, creates so much damage. So you're right on track there with what you're saying, Roman.
And when we're talking efficiency, it's looking at a traditional tank water heater. We're constantly having to heat that water to keep it at that 120, 125, whatever our thermostat is at, where a tankless water heater does absolutely nothing until you ask for it. And depending on your schedule and your time of use and when your off-peak is, you could get an off-peak at 3 cents a kilowatt hour, turn on that hot water, and take a shower for an hour and still be at less kilowatt hour usage than it would have taken to keep a whole tank of 80 gallons of water at 120 for a 24-hour cycle.
Anytime that the water heater's kicking on and off with the thermostat, same thing with gas. If we have a gas one, the gas is kicking on to heat it versus a tankless water heater, you are correct. It's only going to heat on demand as you use water.
And I know this sounds really silly, but you know, there was a time in that a house with granite countertops was a selling point. I think we're going to get to the point where a house with a tankless water heater is going to be a selling point. So at the point your old water heater is ready, you may not be in a position to go ahead and get a tankless water heater, but at least get that estimate so you know what it's going to take at the point you're ready. I'm telling you, over the next 30 years, that's going to be the only option.
It will be the only option, and it's nice to hear it all about water. We like feasibility inspections. We want to make sure that if tankless is a thought that's going on and you want to get rid of that tank, we do a no-cost obligation to come out and do a feasibility inspection to make sure that it would even be right for your home without going into, you know, major installation or haul of doing something into your home. So we love doing that. We love giving people their options. Then we also look at regular tank water heaters as well. And so many different options that you can do when it comes to a regular water heater into the home. Let's say that tankless isn't an option, but it's something you're thinking about doing in the future. There's other things that so many people, just as silly as not having a pan on the bottom side of that water heater to protect them, right? So there's always things that we're looking at to make their life a lot easier and a little bit safer having a regular tank-style water heater into their home. Of other things you can do to that water heater, and even as far as some people want that hot water on demand where they're not waiting a long time, so we do recirculating pumps for water heaters to make sure that when they turn on a faucet, it's hot. When we do our tankless water heaters, we do that same scene where when you turn the water on, it's heating as you go through it, as well as giving you that instantaneously hot water. So that's what we like to do with tankless. And if you're not going that way, we can still do that with a regular style tank heater as well.
That's your weekly to-do. Flush out your water heater. And at the point you're looking to replace a water heater, get an estimate for a tankless option and see if that's right for you, whether it's this time or another decade and a half down the road at some point. George Funkenhauser, how does somebody get a hold of All About Water?
Oh, they can definitely go to our website for allaboutwateraz.com or our regular telephone number, which is great as well, at 480-892-7556.